Chapter 9. The herd of enormous monsters was smaller than the group Karth had initially sent to Mistral, but as the colossal beings marched toward us, dread spread through me like a wildfire. I couldn't be too shocked Karth had been waiting for us beneath the cloaking enchantment. I'd half expected as much. But it was almost easy to forget just how intimidating her plethora of giant creatures were.
"She certainly doesn't seem to have weakened,"
Fi muttered beside me, and the white-winged Arkin gently bit her lower lip as she wrapped her arms around her pale frame.
"Her army looks as formidable as ever."
The last time we'd fought against the herd, we'd had the entire military support of Varlay Enclave to help us against the beasts. And even then, the effort hadn't been victorious. Of course, this time our side had a magical advantage Karth's did not. Zan's resurrection ability. When Zanrith had initially appeared at the mansion to tell me she'd abandoned her sister's alliance, she'd admitted to me her resurrection magic had aided Karth when her monsters succumbed to our army's attacks. Now that Zan was on our side, Karth and her alliance didn't have the advantage of saving their dead creatures. And I prayed that that would be enough to bring us to victory. "Hey, we just successfully dismantled her spell," I reminded the Arkin, and the words were meant to reassure me just as much as her. Sure, she has her monsters, but if she were really so powerful, she'd have made a stronger enchantment around her fortress, wouldn't she?
"I suppose that's true,"
Fi agreed with me, and she tapped her long white fingernails against her lips.
"Now that I think of it, the spell should have been stronger. Her magic is powerful, but combined with the magic of Huna and Keela, it should have been even more powerful. Which leads me to wonder if they're even here at all."
"I suppose we'll find out soon enough," I sighed, though I had to admit the Arkin had made a fair enough point. I wanted to consider the idea further, but the fact of the matter was, a huge herd of monsters was before us, and I needed to get down to my teammates as quickly as possible. When I looked to the ground below, I spied a hefty earthen structure that rose up to form a dome over the blackened grass, and I immediately knew it belonged to Almasi. The Earthmage had created the perfect fortress to protect my team, but they needed to know the herd was imminent. So, without another second of hesitation, I pumped my pale blue wings in the air and flew as fast as they allowed me. I flew to the other side of the field, and the moment my feet were planted, the earthen structure fell away to reveal my armored team. Even from under the dome, it was clear that they'd also assumed the defensive positions they'd held when we'd first arrived through Kristen's portal. Fi landed down after me, and I noticed the angelic Arkin had put some distance between herself and my friends. I wondered if it was for their comfort or hers, but either way, I appreciated her discretion.
"Grief, what's going on?"
Brayden asked as he lowered his arms at his sides.
"We felt the aftershock when the cloaking enchantment fell away, and suddenly the ground started to shake."
My former roommate's words stopped abruptly when his eyes peered out at the field, and the rest of my team followed suit.
"Fuck!"
Orin uttered.
"That's not good,"
Almasi chimed in as he ran a hand through his hair. Amidst the excitement of flying across the field, I hadn't even noticed the herd had stopped in their tracks. The walls of monsters were frozen in place, and my eyebrows creased together as I tried to figure out what was going on. Why had Karth ordered the monsters to stop when she could have very easily surged forward for an attack? I wondered if the Horned Arkin was waiting for me to make the first move. She'd certainly had a flair for the theatrics, so I wasn't surprised she treated this fight like a game.
"Well, I suppose that answers our question from earlier,"
Varlith noted dryly, and then the Banisher's dark eyebrows creased together.
"Karth was certainly waiting for us. But why aren't they moving?"
"I have no idea, but we can use it to our advantage," I answered, and I shot the snarling herd a sideward glance. If Karth was waiting for us, that meant we had a moment to strategize, and I wasn't about to waste the rare opportunity to plan ahead for once.
"What's our plan of attack?"
Varlith inquired, and the gypsy's dark eyes were clear and focused.
"Assuming you've concocted one, of course?"
"I do have a bit of a plan," I nodded, "though it's not nearly as clever or concise as I'd like for it to be. I'm going to summon the Arkans and then explain further. Brayden, get your summons ready. The rest of you, give me a moment. Keep an eye on the herd and call out if something changes."
"You've got it,"
Brayden replied, and the rest of the team uttered similar words of agreement. As Brayden got to work and summoned his monsters, I reached into my consciousness and issued my commands to the Arkans. "It's time," I instructed the goddesses. "I'd like this to end as quickly as possible, so I'm going to need all of you again, and all of the summons in your possession."
"Your wish is our command,"
Sarah purred.
"Let's finally end Karth once and for all,"
Mira Lee proclaimed.
"Yes, please,"
Viopa drawled.
"I've been waiting for this for too long,"
Utuni chuckled.
"You can do this, Griff,"
Zan assured me. My entire body tingled as I released the Arkans. The air around me filled with wisps of multicolored mist as the monster goddesses manifested out in the field. I heard a sharp inhale behind me, and I turned around to see a trembling Murr. The moose shapeshifter's lower lip quivered as his enormous dark eyes studied the Arkans. It wasn't the first time he'd witnessed them all, but it was probably the first time he'd been in such close proximity to the monster goddesses, and the poor kid looked uncomfortable.
"Murr, you good?"
I asked the boy, and the moment I did, Murr shook his head and straightened his back like nothing had ever been wrong to begin with.
"Everything is fine," he insisted in terse mistral. "I'm ready to fight, Griff."
"Glad to hear it," I said, and offered him a look of encouragement. Murr gave me a nod, and then he turned back to Orin. The moose shapeshifter seemed to have marked the Metalogue as a man to emulate, and I couldn't be prouder of him. Orin was a great mage and a powerful warrior. Murr couldn't have chosen a better mentor. Now that the shapeshifter was handled, I spun around to face the Arkans again, and the gorgeous goddesses were all quick at work. As they called forth their monsters, I studied Xanrath carefully. I'd yet to see what creatures the dark-skinned goddess had as her personal minions, and I was curious to know what they were. The azure flame-winged goddess held her arms out in front of her, and a burst of blue mist swirled around her body like a contained tornado. I was transfixed by the strange beauty of it for a moment, and once it disappeared, three monsters stood before the umber-skinned Arkan. The first one was one of the most dazzling creatures I'd ever seen. It was a four-legged creature that resembled a horse, and its pale hide glittered and shimmered as if it were made of pure starlight. From its back rose two shimmering wings with an impressive span of 20 feet, and an opalescent horn that ended in a deadly point protruded from its forehead.
"Is that a unicorn?"
I asked as my jaw nearly fell to the ground. Unicorns were one of the rarest monsters, so much so that I'd never seen one in all of my years of travel. They were the kind of creatures discussed around a campfire, or name-dropped by traveling merchants who claimed to have one amongst their wares only for the customer to discover that they'd been sold an empty crystal later.
"Even better,"
Zan noted with a proud smile.
"It's a lunacorn, distant cousin of the unicorn, but with much deadlier attacks."
The lunacorn exhaled sharply, and I tilted my head to the side. The beast was one of the most beautiful monsters I'd ever seen, and while that horn looked like it could inflict some serious damage, it was hard to imagine such a pretty monster fighting against Karth's nightmarish herd. Beside the lunacorn were two other monsters, and each was equally impressive as the first. To the right of the lunacorn was a large crow-like creature that bore a human woman's face, much like my Arachnus. Unlike the lovely appearance of my summons, however, The face of the bird woman was fierce, with beady, orange, thin-pupiled eyes that darted in all directions, a thin-lipped mouth that spread unnervingly from ear to ear, and a strong, beaky nose. It wasn't an unpleasant sight exactly, but it wasn't what I would call beautiful. Lastly, from the top of the creature's womanly head flowed what at first looked like a mane of hair, but it was actually a collection of blue-black feathers. The bird woman stepped forward on taloned feet and flapped her wings at me. "What do you call her?" I asked Zan.
"She's a hobby,"
the Arkin answered with a glint in her amethyst eyes.
"She might look a little off-putting, but rest assured, she can be quite enticing."
"What do you mean by that?" I wondered as I watched the bird woman jut her head around in a hyperactive manner. There were many words I could use to describe the strange monster, but enticing was not one of them.
"You'll just have to wait and see."
Zan grinned at me, and I debated pressing further, but the Arkin's smile told me she wasn't going to reveal anything. "Fair enough," I shrugged, and then I turned to the last monster. Zan's final summons was a floating copper-furred fox with 12 plush tails that fanned out behind it and wavered in the air. The creature was about the size of my Maripor, and it wore an adorably mischievous grin on its face. It twisted around until its fluffy white belly was in the air, and then let out a sound that almost sounded like a laugh as it waited for orders from its mistress.
"Vulparine,"
Zanrith explained.
"She's a little bit of a trickster, but she's got some useful abilities."
Suddenly, the Vulparine vanished in midair, and then reappeared at another point about 20 feet away. It kept up the effort and teleported throughout the field as if to demonstrate its ability, and then it returned to its place near Zan. "That does seem useful," I agreed with her. The Vulparine's tails abruptly spanned out and began to swirl in a circle. As the plush tails spun faster and faster, a breeze kicked up around me, and my lips curled up into a grin. "It has air magic," I deduced, and the Vulparine let out an excited laugh before it flipped back over and offered me a fanged grin. I had no doubt the fox monster's wind attacks would be helpful later, and I began to brainstorm ways I could utilize its magic in combination with my other monsters.
"They're all yours to command,"
Zan declared.
"My sisters like to give me grief about my monsters, but they're all excellent companions who are ready to serve the Beastmaker."
"Thanks, Zan. I appreciate it." I nodded at the flame-winged Arkin, and then I looked over my shoulder to check on the others. The chorus of grunts and snarls from the herd suddenly crescendoed, and I had a feeling Karth's patience was thinning by the second. The Arkins had their monsters summoned, from Miralise Hennessey to Sarah Snapdarner and Viopa's bat-like Narmonger, and the goddesses all wore bloodthirsty smiles as they peered out at the herd off in the distance.
"We're ready when you are, master,"
Sarah cooed as she stroked the back of her insectoid monster, and the dragonfly-like Snapdarner let out a trill in response. "Good," I nodded at the Arkin. "Hold tight for just a moment longer." I reached into my bandolier and threw out my essence crystals in rapid succession. My Rusa, Barroker, Kalgori, and my Spruce Boar. If this battle got too intense, I would summon some of my more powerful monsters like the Sun Giant, Belial, and Quartzreel, but I didn't want to risk mana depletion quite yet, when I was already utilizing all of the Arkins and my monsters. For now, I needed to use my wits. Smoke filled the air as my monsters manifested out in the fields, and as each of my creatures appeared, I turned to Viopa. "Viopa, I'm going to need some of your shapeshifting magic," I addressed the succubus Arkin. "I want you to do as you did with the fight against the Quartzreel. I need both of my monsters and Brayden's the same size as the rest of Karth's herd."
"Finally, time I got to have some fun,"
the goddess purred as she tucked a lock of sterling hair behind her ear.
"Are there any other augmentations you'd prefer aside from size?"
"Could you armor them?" I wondered.
"Excellent suggestion,"
Viopa complimented me. and her fangs poked out in a devious grin.
Yes, that will do nicely.
Thanks. I laughed lightly. If I could even the playing field even just a little, this battle might not span as long as the others, which suited me just fine.
These beasts?
Viopa clarified as she turned to my newly appeared summons and cocked her hip to the side. The goddess tilted her head to the right, which made her hair spill over her shoulders like molten silver.
Yep.
I nodded as I tried not to stare at her beauty. Then I made myself snap out of it, and I gestured to where Brayden had summoned his monsters.
Brayden's as well.
My former roommate had summoned his King Griffin, his Jaxar, and his Ember Eagle, all impressive monsters who were about to get an even better upgrade. I opened my mouth to give the summoner a heads up, but Viopa wasted no time. She held her hands out in front of her, and silver-blue magic streamed out from her fingertips. Suddenly, my monsters began to glow with the same light, and the magic was so bright, I averted my eyes.
Griff, what's...
I heard Brayden call out to me, but the ox-like mage's words cut off as the light disappeared. Once the offensive flash was completely gone, I looked up to see my entire team of monsters were of equal stature to Karth's herd. Most of my creatures had been large before, but now they were absolutely enormous.
Wicked,
I murmured as I admired my summons. I'd only used this trick once before, and I was amazed by the results. For the second part of my request, Viopa had manipulated their skin to give them all thick layers of natural armor, except for the Kalgori, who had bladed armor all on their own. Normally, I would have used the bullet bass to equip my monsters, but Viopa's magic was faster and easier.
Is this satisfactory, Master?
Viopa inquired with an even wider fanged grin.
It is, I smiled back at her. Thank you.
Of course,
she purred. My monsters let out sounds of excitement as they looked around them. Then I glanced over at Brayden, whose team had only grown massive, and the summoner's eyes looked like they were going to fall right out of his skull.
Damn,
he remarked as he looked between his King Griffin, his Jaxar, and his Ember Eagle.
This is some seriously helpful magic. Really could have used that in the past, but wow, they're all huge.
Viopa did this to my monsters in the last fight against Karth, and it kept her herd from sweeping the floor with me, I brought up. I'm hoping it'll work again.
I don't see how it wouldn't,
Brayden replied, and the summoner slowly shook his head back and forth at his colossal monsters.
Hey, let me out!
A whine rang out inside my head, and when I reached down and opened the hip pouch at my side, I was greeted by the grumpy face of my familiar.
Sorry, Dio,
I apologized, and I opened the pouch wide enough for the kitten-sized saber-toothed cat to shimmy out. He leapt onto the ground, stretched out, and then tilted his head to the side as he stared out at the other monsters.
Whoa! How did they get so fucking big?
My cat-like summons gasped, and he whipped his head back around toward me.
That's so cool, boss!
I'm glad to have your approval, I laughed. Now, I'm gonna need you a little taller than the form you're in.
Say no more,
Dio interjected. My familiar gave one more good stretch, and then he quickly grew to his normal 20-foot form, and let out an excited roar. His enormous fangs were certainly impressive, and I grinned with pride at my familiar.
Griff, how did you do that to your monsters?
Murr exclaimed as he and the rest of my teammates ran to me and Dio. Each of the mages stared up at my newly enhanced monsters with awe, and I felt a swell of pride as I admired my creatures along with them.
It was all Viopa,
I answered the moose shapeshifter, and the moment her name fell from my lips, the succubus Arkin fixed her silver eyes upon the boy. Murr averted his gaze almost immediately.
Oh, yes.
Viopa, go join the others,
I instructed the goddess. And Murr let out a small sigh of relief as the Arkin obeyed orders.
Thank you,
he murmured in a small voice. You're well, I began to say, but I was cut off by the thunderous sound of footsteps. I peered around my team of monsters just in time to see Karth's herd slowly approaching. The ground quaked beneath us, and I braced myself against Dio's side to keep from falling over.
Holy shit,
Almasi muttered, and the renowned Earthmage pointed his palms down at the ground. He briefly furrowed his brow, and then suddenly the trembling earth beneath us stabilized. Thank you, I said in my most grateful tone, and I eased off Dio's side.
That's a lot of fucking monsters,
Orin added, and the Metalog's voice wavered as his gray eyes studied Karth's assembled herd.
A lot of giant monsters,
Brayden winced.
Come on, guys, stay focused,
I reminded them. I know it's a lot, but we can take them. Sleet and the Grand Mage wouldn't have brought us all together if he didn't think we could handle it.
Fair enough, Summoner,
Gawain nodded curtly, and his emerald eyes flashed with determination as he raised his chin up into the air.
Now, everyone, enough bitching. We need to take out this herd so we can return home.
That's good enough motivation for me,
Varlith agreed with the Fire Mage, and then he turned to me.
So what do we do, Griff? Divide and conquer. I can't tell how many there are exactly, but it seems like enough for each of us to take on a monster.
Between Brayden the Arkans and I, we have enough monsters to assist everyone. So that's probably our best move, I agreed with the Fire Mage. I don't care how we split up, or who takes who.
I want to go with Orin,
Murr declared in confident mistral, and I was impressed by the conciseness of his tone.
Fuck yeah, moose boy!
Orin grinned at the shapeshifter. The Metalog gave Murr an affectionate slap on the back, and then turned to me.
I have no problem with having Murr as my partner.
That's settled then, I said, and then I turned to the Arkans. I signaled Sarah with a wave of my hand, and the goddess rushed over to us with confident strides.
Yes, master?
Sarah inquired with a raise of an elegantly arched eyebrow. I need you to accompany Murr and Orin, I decided. Anything they need. I want you to listen to them and keep them out of harm's way no matter what.
Accompany us,
Murr repeated back. And I could tell the moose shapeshifter was holding back some fear as he gulped. I know we're splitting up, but I think it'd be for the best if one of the Arkans were with you, Murr, I advised the shapeshifter gently. I didn't want him to think he was incapable or anything. But I also wanted to make sure him and Orin had an extra boost of protection. It's more for my peace of mind. Plus, Sarah has her monsters that you and Orin can use in case you need a quick getaway.
That is true,
Murr finally agreed.
I'll take good care of you, young one.
Sarah winked at the shapeshifter, and Murr's cheeks darkened at the attention.
Behave,
I warned her, and then I peered back out at the oncoming herd. All right. I trust the rest of you can figure it out?
We're on it,
Varlith agreed with me, and the gypsy retrieved his weapon.
Good,
I replied quickly.
All right, team, let's kick some ass.
My teammates let out varying sounds and exclamations before they splintered off to their positions, and adrenaline began to pump through my veins. This was it. The moment I'd been waiting for. My monsters were all summoned, and I needed to decide what my first move was going to be. I was still equipped with my Bullet Bass armor and the Vinghund wings, but I felt like I needed something more.
Might I make a suggestion?
A voice to the right of me inquired, and I turned to see Zan. The umber-skinned Arkan wore a smile that was all too calm for the situation, but at the same time, her beautiful expression brought me comfort.
Take the Lunacorn.
Zan advised me with a slight incline of her head. A curly tendril of hair fell into her eyes, and she tucked it behind her ear.
It may not look like much, but it's a valuable battle companion. She's my most trusted monster, and I believe she will serve you well.
I glanced over at her monster, and the starlit unicorn raised its chin as if it were showing itself off to me. She flared her impressively large wings out around it, and that was enough to convince me. While I enjoyed the wings of my Vinghund, having a more powerful set of wings to carry me around would be beneficial. Plus, it would give me a moment to learn more about my newest Arkan's summons. "Thanks, San," I nodded at the Arkan, and then I approached her lunicorn. The monster was only slightly larger than a normal horse, so mounting the beast wasn't as difficult for me as it was for some of my other creatures.
"Boss, what do you want me to do?"
Dio asked once I was seated, and the saber-toothed cat puffed his tawny-furred chest out ever so slightly as he awaited direction. "I need you to stick around for a moment until I return," I instructed my familiar. "I think going with Varlith might be the best place for you right now, buddy. Will you keep him guarded?"
"Of course I will," Dio declared. "I like him, even though he's a little grumpy sometimes."
"Me too," I laughed. Dio bounded over to Varlith, and the banisher shot me a look of confusion. My saber-toothed cat familiar gave me a fanged smile before he gently nudged the gypsy, and Varlith stroked Dio's tawny fur and then gave me a thumbs up.
"Everyone brace yourselves!" I called out to my team.
As my group prepared, I decided to fly above and try to locate Karth. It was difficult to see anything past the wall of enormous monsters, but the Horned Arkan had to be somewhere within her ranks.
"Up!"
I ordered, and the lunicorn flapped her 20-foot wings and blasted off into the pungent air with a force so great I had to tighten my grip around her. Once we were a few hundred feet above the ground, I peered around at Karth's monsters. My higher vantage point made it easier to do a quick head count, and I realized the number of monsters was far smaller than I'd originally assumed. When they'd been gathered, the herd had seemed like it was comprised of about 20 monsters, but now that I could see above them, I realized it was only 7. Karth's numbers had really dwindled since the last time we'd battled. 7 massive monsters was nothing to scoff at, but somehow I was comforted to know that, from a technical standpoint, we had far less to worry about than before. I reached into my bandolier and decided to retrieve the speed slug I'd declined to summon earlier. If there was ever a time for enhanced speed, it was certainly now. So I crushed the essence crystal in my palm, and once the creature was summoned, I attached the slimy slug to the back of the lunicorn's neck. Once the oozy monster was securely fastened, I took a deep breath and commanded the starlit unicorn to bring us down closer. The lunicorn pumped her powerful wings and then flew us down toward the herd. The ground below me trembled as the herd pressed forward, and the force of it was enough to burden the air above, but the lunicorn's wings were powerful enough to keep me stable as I soared toward the horde. Though my vision was blurred a bit from the acceleration, I managed to assess some of the monsters at the forefront of the small army. Some of the creatures were recognizable, but a few of them were ones I'd never seen before. There was the giant blue urchin from the Battle of Varlay, as well as a pair of gray-green millipedes that never seemed to stay dead. I recognized a personal enemy I loathed, a skinless monster with many legs and no eyes. And beside that nightmarish being were rarer creatures, like a monster that resembled a wooden, many-antlered deer, a monster that looked like a swamp come to life, and another that resembled an emerald-furred bear with a maw full of pointed teeth. The other Arkans only controlled 3 specific monsters, but Karth had the power of influence that allowed her to command an entire herd of beasts. This gift was a benefit to her now, but I had no doubt it would come in handy once she was under my control. I paused a few hundred feet shy of the herd and hovered in place. Then, the wall of giant monsters stopped in their tracks, and as the gathering of creatures halted, I spotted my target amongst them. Karth. The beautiful ivory-horned Arkan rested in the upturned paw of the emerald-furred bear. And if looks could kill, I'd have fallen down dead on sight. The goddess's russet eyes smoldered with a hatred that surpassed any amount of anger she'd ever shown me before. Her mouth was a hardened line, and her tusks somehow looked even sharper against her burgundy-painted lips. I ordered the Lunacorn to fly closer to keep us from shouting across the field, and had her paws about 20 feet short of the bear monster's paw.
Beastmaker,
she growled at me from her perch.
I knew I'd be seeing you soon, but I didn't think you'd deliver yourself to my doorstep so soon after our last encounter.
What can I say? I'm a man who doesn't know when to quit, I smirked at the Arkin. And you left me a little wanting the last time we spoke.
Ah, so you've come to rub your nose in your supposed victory, I see.
Karth narrowed her eyes at me, and she crossed her muscular arms over her dark leather bodysuit.
Don't celebrate too early, Griff. You may have won the last battle, but you will not win this one.
How about you skip the empty threats and make this one easy for yourself, Karth? I asked the Arkin. Give it up. There's no reason to continue this game of cat and mouse any longer.
When will you see that this isn't a game?
Karth interjected, and the horned goddess's fist clenched at her sides.
None of this has ever been. I can't believe I was ever stupid enough to believe you would be sympathetic to our cause. You make a mockery of the Beastmaker's name.
How was I ever supposed to feel anything even remotely sympathetic toward you when you kept trying to destroy my home? I demanded. You've taken every opportunity to lie, threaten, and attempt to seduce me. And yet, you've never once pleaded your case in a real way.
And what was I meant to do?
Karth shook her head, and her waist-length chestnut-brown hair wavered behind her.
Would you have actually listened to me beg? Would you have cared more if I mustered up a batch of tears and petitioned you to abandon the barbaric humans you aligned yourself with? No, it would not have worked, and I will not apologize for trying to use my more feminine charms to try to sway you.
I frowned at Karth and considered my words carefully. I knew rational conversation with the goddess wouldn't lead to anything, but if we could avoid another battle, I had to at least try. I know you think I'm a barbaric monster, I began, and I gave the Arkin my most understanding expression. But my team here, along with your sisters, can assure you I'm not. We aren't working to take you down and conquer all we see. We just want to live in our homes peacefully with our families.
You think that isn't something we desire too?
Karth interrupted me, and the goddess narrowed her long-lashed eyes.
Why should we be forced to reside inside the Shadowscape while you humans get to live in a paradise, like the other realm? Why should we have to live amongst the beasts and deny ourselves a walk in the moonlight?
I'm not responsible for putting you here, I objected. But you're fooling yourself with this insistence of peace. You've never wanted civility. You want to rule. You want dominion over the humans. Well, I hate to break it to you, Karth, but I am human. And I will fight for them in any way I can.
Then you shall perish with them as well.
Karth scoffed.
Enough of this petty conversation, Beastmaker. I have no desire to join you, and you have no desire to join me. As such, my only choice is to destroy you and finally rid myself of the Beastmaker forever.
Well, that settled the matter at least. Karth wasn't interested in a compromise. So, I had to admit defeat on that front. I'd like to see you try to get rid of me, I smirked, and I raised my chin up high to show Karth I wouldn't be intimidated by her. And where, pray tell, are dear Huna and Keela? I don't see them here with us, and I'd hate for them to miss all of the fun we're about to have. The moment the words left my lips, I swore I could see smoke leak out from Karth's ears.
Don't you dare utter their names,
the Arkin snarled as she stomped her leather-booted foot like a child.
Those two betrayed me, and it is all your doing.
Is it now? I inquired as my heart skipped a beat at the knowledge, but I kept my expression neutral. And just how is their betrayal my problem?
You destroyed my quartz reel,
she snapped, and venom coated her words.
Quite unfairly, too, I might add. And when I returned to the Shadowscape, they immediately left the castle.
how does your defeat make it my fault? I laughed. This all sounds like it's yours, not mine.
The moment you stole Zanrith away from us, you splintered our relationship.
Karth seethed.
The moment she abandoned us, the others feared you would soon claim them as well, and that there was no chance I could lead us closer to the salvation we've worked so hard for. You planted doubt into their minds. Therefore, it's your fault they're gone. All of my hard work was destroyed because of a pathetic human.
I was torn on how to feel about Huna's and Keela's abandonment. While the Arkan's departure was advantageous to me and my team at the moment, it also meant we would still have to track the goddesses down later. I'd hoped I'd be able to end this war in its entirety with this mission. But I couldn't get too upset about that now. I had Karth to focus on, and it was going to take my all to defeat her. They're right about one thing, I said with a raised chin. You aren't going to lead them to their salvation.
Enough!
Karth growled, and her herd of monsters began to snarl behind her. The chorus of hostile noises sent a chill through me, but I didn't let it outwardly show. Karth could try to intimidate me all she wanted, but her fear tactics weren't going to work. That's a neat trick, I noted. I'd enjoy it while it lasts. Karth opened her mouth to retort, but suddenly she turned her attention to the land behind me, and a cruel smile painted on her dark red lips. I followed the direction of her gaze all the way to my silver-armored team below us, and a knot formed inside my stomach.
So, I see this time you've brought an audience.
She mused as she studied my teammates.
Excellent. I look forward to seeing the looks on their faces when I tear you limb from limb.
I don't foresee that happening anytime soon, I scoffed.
We'll see about that,
the green-skinned goddess hissed at me.
Still using my sister's magic for your own personal gain, I see. How long will you continue to hide behind them?
I'm not hiding behind them, I growled. They're on my side. Don't be a sore loser.
Now, why don't you go ahead and rejoin your little friends?
Karth snarled, and her pointed fangs gleamed out from behind her curled maroon lips.
I'll give you a moment's head start, but nothing more. I could have my monsters strike you down this instant, but I think I'm in the mood for more of a show. Perhaps I'll kill your friends one by one while you're forced to watch idly.
You won't lay a hand on them, I seethed. Threatening me was one thing, but to threaten the lives of my friends, my chosen family, that was unacceptable in my book, and I wasn't going to stand for it.
Oh, I won't, but my monsters certainly will.
Karth's lips tilted up into a grin.
Now, run along, Beastmaker. My offer of pause will not last long.
I hovered in place, unsure if she was serious, and I considered my options here. I could heed the Arkan's suggestion and race down to my team to prepare for the fight of my life, or I could go after the goddess myself, now, and try to capture her within my consciousness. If I captured Karth, though, there was nothing to keep the herd of deadly monsters from trampling my team anyways. I needed to defeat the beasts and then capture Karth once her army was gone. Without her monsters, the Horned Goddess was of little threat to me and my team. So I heeded the Arkan's suggestion and commanded the Lunacorn to fly me back across the field. While I seriously doubted Karth would just let me return to my monsters without interference of some sort, I at least needed a head start. My newly enhanced monsters let out cries and grunts as I flew closer to them, and I sent them a wave of reassurance through my bonds with them. I made sure they knew that all was okay, but it was time to fight. Down below, I spied my teammates gathered around each other, and I commanded the Lunacorn to lower down near them. The group of mages all wore looks of readiness as they awaited my instructions.
Well, Griff, is it showtime? Almasi asked with a toothy grin, and I smiled right back. Only the pilot could flash a smile at this moment and get away with it.
I gave the herd another quick glance. Anyone else would have felt intimidated by the monster's immense presences, but I was ready to fight. "It's showtime," I agreed with the Earth Mage. "Let's take down this herd. Once and for all."